They did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the Monster Mash.
Yeah, winding our way into the early evening. Have you had any kids turn up at your door yet? Trick-or-treating? Demanding lollies? In fact, I had one text complaining about the fact that trick-or-treat doesn't have please in there. It's bad manners. If you have had that happen, what did you do? Did you slam the door in their face? Were you a Grinch? Or did you turn around and find the nearest stash of sugar and shower them with it? Sherbet bonbons for all. It's Halloween, everybody, and notwithstanding the fact that there are lots of texts I'm getting saying, it's not Halloween, it should be in autumn. Okay, I get that concept, but nonetheless, it's Halloween. We've created a special news desk here at RN Drive HQ to respond to important questions such as these, specifically to look into this phenomenon. We've called it the Department of Petty Controversies, and this is our first petty controversy. Joining us today to discuss it, the controversy du jour, is Stephen Alomes, who's an adjunct professor at RMIT's Globalism Research Centre. Stephen, this is globalisation gone mad.
It certainly is, and the interesting question is the $64 franc or yen question is it all being globally homogenised? Are we all ending up with the same American version of Halloween, or are we getting local variations?
That's an interesting... All right, I want to come to that. But before... The Americanness of it is an interesting point, isn't it? Because I'm getting texts already. Halloween is an Irish tradition, not an American tradition. People pointing to the European elements of it. One text, though, on the other hand, says, Halloween, when it began in Europe, it has this... Sorry, while it began in Europe, it has the stench of yet another US implant. How about Yowie Day, if you want to be scared? And so there's this sense of where is this actually from?
Well, I would take it back to medieval Italy when the cows wanted to come inside, the cows and other animals, to the sort of out extensions of the house because it was getting cold. It was extremely cold in much of northern Europe, even by this time. And the idea was that the dead souls, also the old family members, they wanted to come inside as well. And I think that the idea that it was Irish is a very popular one because of in the US it was created by the Irish potato famine. Immigrants or refugees of the 1840s. So the American Halloween had its Irish origins because for them it was the beginning of the Celtic New Year, the end of October. It was also the end of the harvest season. So in a sense it was a kind of strange transitional festival, that's quite a harvest festival, but between harvest and the coming of the long winter.
I wonder, though, whether or not the history matters as far as Australia's attitude towards it is concerned, and very much this feeling that it's an American imposition, although I should point out, and I am very reliably informed by my Canadian MP, that Canadians are right into it as well. So it's not just US-American, it's North American, perhaps, if you want to go that far. Is that what it's about? Is this ultimately about cultural politics, our concern about this?
Look. For me, it's actually. I mean, the great. Okay, America is still in culture. Is still the imperial power of the world, even despite the rise of K-pop and J-pop and French heavy metal and other things. But the real great imperialists are the confectionery companies, which are, of course, most of them now moved to America, except for Nestle, and they are the drivers behind even more than the magic shops, and of course the other staple for things for kids. The $2 shop, because that is the extra factor, mass marketing of stuff which is cheaply produced.
Okay, but we have those objections around Christmas, for example, as well, perhaps even around Easter, around Mother's Day, Father's Day. I think there's something specific in the objection that seems to exist. Not everyone has it, clearly, but seems to exist in relation to Halloween.
Well, I think because we see it as a specifically American festival, whereas we know that even though Mother's Day and Father's Day were invented in the US, it's hard to knock mothers, it's hard to knock fathers, it's hard to knock love, a.k.a. love, at Valentine's Day. You don't want to knock Father Christmas and you don't want to say no to presents. So it's very hard to knock any of those. But it's something else that's specifically American, and not everyone, kids often love horror stories and strange creatures and devils and things. I don't. I mean, if I see sci-fi on television or at the cinema, I turn it off or just don't go.
Yeah.
I'm a bit squeamish. I like happy films. But so therefore, a lot of people, of course, many Christians would say, well, we don't like this devil stuff. And that, by the way, is the Catholic Church actually moved All Saints Day, because Halloween is the evening before All Saints Day.
Mm.
They moved that in the 8th century to November 1st to compete with those pagan rituals. you know, which was still around, the celebration of the dead. And then the next day they created All Souls Day to commemorate the faithful departed. That's why in France, France has actually got a tradition of remembering the dead at the time, and a tradition of autumnal marketing, and Halloween fitted in there for a while. But this, I suppose, takes me to my other big question. This being RN, I think we can ask these big formal questions.
Yes.
Is it cyclical or is it structural? France, it rose and faded, and I haven't actually checked on the last year or two, but it was very big in the 90s and early 2000s and very weak by the late years of the first decade. Or is it structural? Is the whole world being overtaken by this new marketing festival with its American style?
Well, let me ask the next RN question. Is it possible that the cyclical nature of it, if it indeed is cyclical, is structural?
Well, yes, it's, well, fashion is structural. I mean, all those women who threw out their 1960s clothes wish they'd brought them back because they're, you know, they're all, if they can fit in them, because they're all popular again.
Exactly.
Modishness is indeed cyclical, but is part of a larger structure.
Yeah, there you go. It's a social fact, Stephen. Get some Durkheim into you.
That's sounds a bit too conceptual for me.
I think we've now gone way too far down that line.
I'm a historian. I just tell stories.
Oh, don't think historians can escape the structure versus agency debate, Stephen. You just can't. I wonder if it's to do with the fact that this is a very recent adoption.
So dramatic rise. Think of the film Halloween H20. There were two or three versions of that in the late 70s and early 80s. Small bit of Halloweening in the early 80s, and so late 80s and early 90s. I heard someone on another radio program today say they ran a small corner store to a supermarket in a country town. One of the big confectionery companies had a big push 18 years ago. It failed entirely. But it's really grown in recent years.
Okay, so this comes back to your structure versus cyclical question, doesn't it?
Yep.
Do you have a reading? Do you know what your view is on it? Do you
think I think that in some countries it may be cyclical, but in Australia, probably because we're more immersed in American culture than many others.
But we have been for ages.
Yeah, but I think that because, you know, the amount of American television, even more than, say, in other countries that we'll see on Australian TV, kids have all been watching American TV programs with Halloween. I have a friend now in his early 20s who, when he was about a 10 or 11-year-old, was speaking with a slightly American accent because he'd been watching all that television.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to tell a personal story that I won't. It might get difficult at home. The thing about it, though, is that I think, and I could be wrong here, a lot of the objection seems to be that we don't seem to have a reason for adopting this. That is, there's nothing that speaks to us particularly about this. We're kind of doing this. It's like a sense we're doing this a bit blindly, a bit like lemmings.
Well, I think also because it's seen as a season of the marketing year, which is what it is. This is a fairly dead season for the marketers. It's between whatever buying people have done in spring and the coming of Christmas buying. It's a dead season, but Halloween's not actually in Australia going to put a lot into it. The other thing, I think the one thing you've always got to be, I've been writing a little piece this morning called Halloween is part of the happiness industry. And I frequently write celebration as S-E-L-L-E-B-R-A-T-I-O-N.
Yes,
now, everything is happy. Happy Easter, happy Halloween, happy Christmas, happy everything.
Mm.
And we can, if we want it, we can do a real super RN thing, and we can go into all those other happy industries associated with mindfulness and meditation and everything else. But happiness is, we're a Benthamite society. The greatest happiness of the greatest numbers, a pretty old Aussie theme.
Mm.
We also have trouble dealing with death and the idea of death.
Yep.
We have trouble dealing with ghosts and devils. So maybe that's got something to do with it. Maybe as we live our everyday lives, these are, you know, somehow Halloween is bringing them back. Even more bizarrely, the latest phenomenon, just a few weeks earlier, Zombie Day, which I don't claim to understand at all.
There's so much about this, the whole zombie thing I don't understand.
Don't like seeing people covered in mock blood.
Yeah, I suppose that's right.
I'm very simple.
Just vitally then, do you think that, given if this is here to stay, will it become refracted through an Australian prism in a recognisably Australian way so that Australian Halloween is something distinct?
Well, I think that happens with most festivals. Most festivals have their own translation into a local way. But the only way in which it's become Australian is the role of Halloween as a kind of suburban sort of rendezvous thing where the mothers take the very young children out in the streets and they meet their neighbours, sometimes paradoxically for the first time. And kids of preteen and early teens go out there and also meet each other. So maybe that's slightly Australian. But it's a pretty simple thing. It's particularly with its focus on the day where Give Me Lollies is the theme of Trick or Treat, because yep. No one knows what a trick is. And the theme for after hours is the bars and event places saying, let's come to a Halloween party.
And it really doesn't work in Australia, ultimately, I don't think, because you've got daylight savings and your stash of lollies can't be that big. You just don't have enough time. So I think we have to rethink aspects of it, I've got to say. But thank you, Stephen. Thank you for shedding so much light on it and for smarting up the ABC when it comes to Halloween.
Very high thinking.
Oh, the highest of brows brought to that conversation, those brows belonging to Stephen Alomes, adjunct professor at RMIT's Globalism Research Centre. 8 minutes to 7.